You know, I said, let's get a blood work up on this fucking guy. Oh, you didn't do one? Oh, did he have a jab? Oh, let's.
Right.
I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
These guys are like the feds, though. I tell you, they do a number on people. They scare the shit out of people. Like, look, if you plead out now, you're not going to get any jail time. But if you make us work for it, you could do a year or two in jail. Oh, I better plead out now. You know, take the lesser of two evils. And my philosophy has always been, yeah, okay, I'm going to go get some dinner and I'll think about it. And we'll get back to you. Well, you know, you better get back to us. This thing doesn't last forever. This offer expires. Yeah, well, I got stuff to do. I'll get back to you. You almost take like a nonchalant attitude.
They're like car salesmen.
Yeah.
And they think people don't see
pressure,
through it.
Pressure.
Right. Nope, but at a certain age, we've heard it all, so we really don't care. You can't sell us on anything. So
that's a good point about the cop who went down the tubes. He had health problems.
Yeah, because he was not old. He was pretty,
Yeah, but, you know, the New York Times said he was murdered in the street. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And here's the other thing I've said about that, right? Capitol Police. You let people in the building. So don't sit
that's
up there.
That's true. That's
don't sit
true.
Up there on Capitol Hill when you were called to testify and cry and say you have PTSD. What are you, a fucking half a woman?
Well,
I mean,
this
I'm not,
is saying yeah. How did they, how did the judges that in their detainment hearings, did it not come out that the Capitol Police were letting people in the building? And then the judge goes, you know what I'm saying? The judge that decided to keep these people,
it's a leverage
certainly
game,
didn't. Funny,
no, you don't know what you don't know what they have on these fucking judges, man. They got to have something on all these judges, believe me.
Right.
So they say, don't even think about going soft on these guys. And some of the judges are like, we're not going hard enough. I'm like, whew, how many kids are chained up in your basement?
it's mind boggling to just pay attention to all this and laugh. I mean, for the most part,
I think you just know things. I think you and VM and Legal Man, and I'm not even going to take credit. I'm just going to point to you three people. I think you guys have laid out the new fucking, you guys are pioneers and cartographers. You've laid out in more instances than one that nothing that they say should be believed, and you work your way back from that. If there's mm-hmm. any landscape to work your way back to what the truth would be, then you work your way back. But everything they say should be considered 100% fucking lie. And if there's any room to work your way back, then you do it. In other words, was the tenet, you're innocent until proven guilty in the United
proven,
States.
Right.
Unless you're charged, then you find out that's bullshit, right? You find out that you're certainly guilty, especially in the court of public opinion. The new tenet should be everything they say is a lie until proven otherwise.
Like vaccine until
period.
Proven not yeah. vaccinated.
You're vaccinated. You died. You died
you're
way
vaccinated.
Before you should have died. Right?
Yeah.
In the United States, at least it was, I think it was 74, 75 life expectancy. Oh, by the way, the study came out yesterday. This scamdemic just shaved 2 years off of your life expectancy in the United States.
Yeah.
2 years. So if you're not 75 around there, you know, of course that's the average. So you could be near 75, but if you're 30 and you're 20 and you're 15 and you're 35, 42, et cetera, and you die of a heart attack suddenly, or you get cancer, you know, 6 months after you had a clean bill of health, and your family doesn't come out and say that you were jabbed, you were fucking jabbed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of a sudden, medicine and science has been revolutionized by a bunch of questions we can't answer. Oh, we certainly can answer them. You fucked up. Where's my sound clip?
You fucked up. You trusted us.
Plain and simple.
And the goal is still to, you know, keep encouraging people. There was another article this week that said something about allowing. If you fight with a doctor, the doctor could, I don't know, have you arrested or something
in
like
New
that.
New Hampshire. New Hampshire has moved legislation that hospitals will have the ability to make arrests on the spot if you argue with doctors and you try to remove your loved ones from a hospital setting. You can be arrested by the hospital.
So once your family gets behind those doors, they own, just like the schools, and this is not new. We didn't need Corona to teach people this because it's been going on for a long time. Once your child is behind those doors, they do believe they own your child. If your child gets into a scrape, you know, with somebody, they do call the police first and you second. Okay. They own your child. They make no bones about that.
Can't get into the school, right?
Yeah, right. You can't get into the school. You can't even get on some campuses.
It's a federal crime. Not a lot of people know this. It's a federal crime to step onto a school bus if you're not invited by the driver. So if you say, you know, somebody's been bullying your kid and you step on the bus, listen, you fucker, you better what? That's a federal crime. They call the police. You get I know a cat who got charged with that. I said, if you're going to do time, slick, you better change the fucking story around. You know what I mean? You can't tell people you get jammed up walking on the school bus. You're going to be somebody's bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You better come up with something. Armed robbery or something. Go knock off a Wawa or something before you go away.
The school buses are just horrific. How anybody can drive the school buses, God bless, because they're dealing with a lot on those buses. And then the kids get to school. And it's a nightmare behind those doors. But now, and we saw that starting in 2020, or the folks that were in nursing homes that their families were not allowed to go visit them, get them.
Can't even get in.
They were prisoners. They were prisoners. And now, the same reason you were afraid to take your wife. You were so spot on with that. Thank God she trusted you. I wouldn't want it to be in your shoes because that was a burden you were carrying. Should we stay or should we go? That is an unbelievable scary position to be in.
Yeah, that was bizarre. It was like you're a doctor, but you didn't go to medical school.
No, but you were purely running on adrenaline and gut instinct.
Yeah, and I went down to the hospital and staked it out beforehand. I like, you know, in my imposter mode, when I used to walk around places as a reporter with a clipboard, no one ever fucks with you. Mm-hmm. If you just carry a clipboard around and act mad, like, God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, like, I don't want to know who that guy is because he could be inspecting me, right? You can go anywhere with a clipboard and like an attitude. So I went down and I figured out, well, if I have to take her and something happens and they won't let us get to her, right? How are we going to get her out? So I went down mapped the whole thing out like a fucking operation, like a covert operation. And she's like, you're crazy. I said, no, you don't understand, man. You don't understand about these people. You know, I don't want to be playing catch up in situations where, you know, they're already going to know your face by that time. You don't go down there when they know your face and you're causing a stink, right? If you're saying, release my family member from the hospital, you sons of bitches. And you get lawyers involved, they're going to say, be on the lookout for this fucking guy. But if you're already there and you mapped everything out, then you don't have to go, you know, I don't have to put on a theater. dress as an Amish guy, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I thank God I've never had to put on any theater. You know, usually when I'm angry, my voice drops very low and I will get my way. In a situation like that, I had to be creative as well. But I mean, I remember when my son was a certain age, the family doctor that we had for years, and we went for like the annual checkup or something, and then he asked me to leave the room so he could talk to my son. He said, excuse me? And he's telling me, you know, because of insurance. See, again, these doctors are driven by the rules of insurance. And I said to him, I pay for his insurance. No, I didn't leave the room. So whatever he was going to talk to him about, he didn't get to talk to him about. Sorry.
Do you feel
not
safe?
Happening.
Do you feel safe at home? That's like the new one they ask you.
Well, no, they did that to me. And I had my son in 1991 and I'm, you know, in the labor room, I'm in the bed my husband sitting across in a chair, and a nurse came up to me with this laminated paper, and she just held it in front of me to read and looked at me and to just say yes or no. I mean, I was floored, floored.
What did it say? And then like, when I, is it says man in the chair right, next to you. Is he bothering you?
That's what it was asking you.
Is the father
like
of
that.
Your and, child bothering you?
yeah.
Shut
this
up.
This is back in 91.
Shut up, Ratchet. Give me another epidural.
Yeah, and then there was like a note in the thing on the laminated paper in the bathroom as well. I'm like, are you kidding me?
There's one in my bathroom here. I have to fill it out every day if I feel threatened. My wife wants
like,
to know.
I said to her later, you know, labor was not, it was brutal. And I said, you really need to be asking him that question. I heard him.
Yeah, the bedside manner where you're asking me if I feel threatened after a number of drugs pumping through my body and I can't feel my spine or my legs, probably not the best time to ask if I feel threatened.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just, that was happening. What I'm saying is that
preposterous
was happening in 91.
Is the guy who brought you here to have a baby because you're in medical duress, is this guy being a pain in the ass? Because we'll have him thrown out of here.
The things you learn as you go along in life, like I never in a million years, I don't know if this is in every state, but I know in the state of Florida that, and we know so many people are unmarried, you know, they have, you know, they've been together, they have a baby, but they're not married. But then if they break up, the father has to prove that he's the father, even if he's on the birth certificate. He has to stake claim to that child, whether through DNA or put his name to paper, that he's going to fight for custody as the child being his. Now, the mother is an automatic presumption. You know, that's her child. But a father has to prove it. If you're not married. If you're married, it's a different story. But if you're not married and the name is on the birth certificate, you have to prove that. That blew me away.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, it's easy to do that when they're older, not when they're babies. You know, if in my house, if my kids fuck up, there I say your son screwed up.
And
if they do well, I say
time.
My sons are doing well. But if they screw up, it's her sons. So it's real easy when you're at one.
You know,
older.
My husband went to the same school. Yeah,
we try to. Well, we just try to scrape points wherever we can get them. Cheap points, cheap shots, cheap points. That's a secret to a long marriage, I've found.
Oh, it is. you would get a kick out of my husband. I have this habit just out of nowhere. I'll just go, you know what I was thinking? And he
says, fucking no. You just cost me an extra $500.
Well, he drops his head usually. And it's always when he's like doing something, chopping vegetables or something, I'll just pop in with, you know what I was thinking? And all of a sudden his head will just drop and I just break out into a fit of laughter. I can't stop laughing. And he'll be like, just tell me. So the madder he gets, the more I laugh.
It's twisted, man. But some twisted
it's
stuff.
It's always
there.
Some sort of remodel
tips for
project.
You need a story, like a show, tips for the ladies out there. How to keep your man guessing. This is like
it's either
Cosmopol. No, remember thinking. Cosmo? They would put stuff. My sister would have like a Cosmo laying around. I'm like, oh man, this magazine's out of control. And it would say, like, how to keep your man guessing. See, this is, this is right up your alley. This is a cover.
See,
of
no,
Cosmo.
But I'm easy because I tell, I come out, I'm like, you know what I was thinking? Or I was thinking, those words just make him shake. Like, here comes another project.
VM has a good scam. We would say stuff when we were on the road, like out loud. And if somebody looked at us like, what did you say? He'd be like, you're a pain in the fucking ass to somebody, right? And they'd say, what did you say? And he'd hold up the thing to his ear. I'm on the phone. Oh, I'm sorry. So if you say anything, I mean, he was using it all the time. Then we were all using it on the road, right? In Vegas, he calls somebody like a fucking asshole. The guy's like, you talking to me? He's like, I'm on the phone, man. And he didn't even have a phone. He just put his hand up to his ear. And the guy was like, okay, cool, man. Sorry, man. I thought you were talking to me. And so we were telling people to their face that they were bothering us. And you just tell them you're on the phone. So next time your husband, you say, you know what I was thinking? He should just say, I'm on the phone, man.
That's
the wireless.
A good one.
I got the wireless in there. I'll get back to you.
It's one of Ann's best lines is when he calls people window lickers. I just get into a fit of
laughter. Window lickers. I like that one.
He says that. I just break up laughing. He is funny.
Yeah, man.
He might not think he's funny, but he's funny.
Yeah, he's an original, you know, one of the good guys.
I know. I like when you call him a Renaissance man. That,
yes, it's fucking unbelievable.
That is fitting.
Yeah, I told the Home Depot story. It was, and I'll tell it again. It was fantastic. We went to the Home Depot. He came down the basement. I'm like trying to redo the basement. He was like looking around. He's like, not saying much and drinking coffee. And I felt like I felt like my dad was about to give me a hard time. He's
That's
like,
funny.
Listen, bro, we got to go down the road. You got a Home Depot here? I said, yeah. Got to go down the road. You're doing some things maybe. There's a different way you can do them. I said, all right. So we went down there, and we were trying to get this tool off the shelf. It was, like, up on the shelf, and there's nobody around to help you. So, you know, we go right into caveman mode. Let's get some sticks, man. We'll, like, get some brooms and stuff. We'll try to get this package that's wedged under other packages of great weight off of the thing. And this guy comes down, he goes, I've been watching you guys on security camera, and you're not Home Depot material, man. I don't know what's going on down here. You guys look like a bunch of a bunch of villagers, you know. And the guy and VM was like, you need this, you need that, you need this. I mean, he can build stuff. He can. It's really, he's done a lot of stuff, and he knows his shit. You know.
Oh so, yeah, I would bet you that 100%.
And then the guy said it was okay to steal stuff from Home Depot. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
What a fucking crazy world.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Walgreens told me that one time. I was talking to the manager about something, and he was just so aggravated because he's like, yeah, they don't want us to do anything. I'm like, well, that's. You know, there's no accountability. This is why, you know, this happened.
Think about that.
It was funny today. I was in a store and something was on the top shelf that I could not get. And so I had picked up this little piece of metal and I tried to flip it off. And this real tall woman comes by and she goes, would you like me to get that for you? And I said, yeah, I said, short people problems. And she goes, sounds like a first world problem.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah,
it's not that big
of a deal. Until I start scaling the shelves like I used to do on Black Friday.
It's funny, yeah. We ran into a lot of situations. I'm so, you know, I was looking over the cost for being on the road, and I was like, Jesus, that is way more than we budgeted for. But then I was like, you know what? The experiences and everything else, you can't put a price on stuff like that. And I think that you got to see. Oh, believe me, I came back and I said, we are fucked. It's not just us. It's not just the Northeast. It's not Pennsylvania with this criminal in the state capitol, this maniac, this communist. It's bad enough we had J. Edgar Health, and then she got drafted to the majors, right? But we still have this communist. And I said, you know, because I was thinking, well, it's probably not that bad in other places. It's just, you know, your own perspective. No, it's bad. And I came back and I said, we got to start getting our, this is one of the things I wanted people to listen to. You got to start getting your head wrapped around the fact that, maybe where you live and what you're used to is not the way you're going to have to, you know, finish things out, so to speak, in the second, third, fourth quarter of your life. You might have to make some drastic changes to get the fuck out. And, you know, we're talking about that, thinking about that stuff here. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. I've been saying that a lot on the show. What are you people doing in New York? Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Are you insane? And then people from New York with, you know, everybody's got a New York attitude. That's cool. I like the New York attitude. Saying, you know, one guy said to me, and I read his stuff. I really like his stuff. You got to be better than that. You know, that's, I was disappointed with that. So I started thinking about it. And I said, okay, I could see that perspective. Like, it's not easy to get out. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. That's what they know. They know it's not easy to get out. So they're going to keep pushing and prodding you like a lab rat, right?
Well, I can speak from experience, and I could tell people that it is the most liberating thing to do. My husband and I we picked up and left Philadelphia in 2004. Now, he has a very large family. My family is not large, but they were devastated. Like, they did everything they could to guilt you into staying.
Yeah.
And we went. And all I remember is after, you know, closing and getting in the U-Haul truck, and, you know, I had the vehicle, he had the truck, and it hit me. We're driving to Florida with everything we own. Two kids, the dog, and everything we own. It was the most freeing feeling. It was like I had when I took my kids out of school to homeschool. It is the most liberating, free feeling that you can have if you make that decision. Once you make the decision, everything falls into place. Now, I feel pretty good here. And in fact, if I don't like it here because we're getting overbuilt, I could go up one or two counties where it's much more rural land, and I could be fine here for a long time. Now, that is until we get different politics here and something can change. But, you know, that could be a while. So for now, I'm okay. But I could say, if I didn't leave Philadelphia, I probably would have been gone in 2020. I probably would have started packing immediately to get the hell out of there. Because I could always see the writing on the wall. That is why I came here in 2004. I came here mainly because Florida was a very very homeschool-friendly state. I was doing well in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was a great classroom. They were homeschool friendly. But Florida had great conventions and, you know, I love the beaches. We made that decision. But I definitely would have gotten out of there in 2020. And I would have found the reddest place on the map. And again, I told someone this. I said, even if the politics change in the state, meaning governor at the top level, the county I live in, and the next two counties up and surrounding counties are primarily 70 to 80% of red mentality.
Yeah, that goes a long way.
That goes a long way. Because if that's what you're surrounded by, then you're okay.
It's at least a buffer to see how things play
out. It's a great buffer, yeah. Right? Like, when I first moved down here, I would go to Tampa a lot. I would go to Orlando a lot. Haven't been there in years. I have no desire to go into these areas. When I want to go, I now travel more north, where it's just more open and, you know, there's restaurants on the water north of us. I go north. I don't go south anymore. So even if I was in Orlando or the Tampa Hillsborough area, I would have gotten out of there already. In fact, people were, because there were mask mandates. The whole state, each county had their own mask mandate. My county did not. The county north of me did not. Well, the people in the county south to us, they were coming up here to shop. Now, how stupid was that of those counties? Because they were losing shoppers coming up here. They're not very bright. And people did move up here. So you're not only getting the people from, you know, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and whatever, Delaware, they're coming down here. But you're also getting relocators within some of the blue counties. And there's not many blue counties here. But the counties that are blue, like, I believe South Florida should be lopped off and be its own country. Because South Florida is extremely corrupt. It's
a different place.
It's a whole different world down
there. Which is weird, because we have a lot of listeners in Miami.
Well, and I that's think a good thing, then.
And I think they're, the way the demographics line up, I think it's a lot of Hispanic listeners in Miami.
Well, it's a mixture. Well, no, there are. You have
the people listening to us are a lot of Hispanics.
Yes, no. Yeah, well, yeah. They tend to be not far left, but there's a mixture. You've got Cubans, you've got Haitians, you've got Colombians, you've got everything. When I had to deal in foreclosures, the majority of the foreclosure mills, the law firms handling the bulk of the foreclosures, were in South Florida here. horrific to deal with that. They would lose files. There was a lot of corruption in the law firms that were handling a lot of the foreclosures, and it just should be lopped off in its own country. But when you look at the rest of the state, because some of your listeners have even asked me that, one even from Canada, you know, where should we move in Florida? Look at the map, find the reddest counties, and then look at the percentage of that, and that's what I would pick.
Right.
You know, I did that in 2004, and it served me well. I don't like, you know, how we've been built up since then, because that's not why I moved here. But I can go one county up, two counties up, and I can find what I moved to in 2004. Like, there are counties that literally don't have department stores or malls or any of that. You know, you can get a Walmart, or they used to have a Kmart or something like that, you know, grocery stores. But if you want anything major, you have to leave the area. And that's how this county was when I moved here. They didn't have, I had to leave the county. That's why I would go to Tampa or places to shop like that, because we didn't have even a JCPenney's or a Kohl's. We had Target and Walmart. That was it. And I liked it. And most of my roads were two-lane roads, one up, one down. Well, now they're two, four, five. You have two lanes one way, two lanes the other, and then the center lane. But they used to be two lanes.
Yeah, there's one a lot up, of people down there. When we came down to Florida a while back, a couple trips since the scamdemic started, there's a lot of, it was like the, you know, it was crazy. I've talked about it before, but just as a refresher, even when we had a dinner with you and your husband and stuff, walked into this bar and it was like, you know, coming from Pennsylvania where everybody was locked in their homes and things. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go to bars. And it was like, I felt like probably what it would have been similar to, or compared to perhaps, walking into a speakeasy during Prohibition. I was like, what is going on here? These people are living it up. They're drinking. It's like regular society, you know, and nobody died. There weren't massive deaths. It's like, what could be happening?
Completely normal. There was a band, people, you know.
This place is great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you come back here and it's like, get back in your house, you. You're all going to die. It's like, wait a minute. I was just at spring break, comparable to spring break. I don't think we're all going to die. I mean, it's what they've done to people is, you know, a couple of friends of mine too, I was talking about this today, who are fucking fantastic and funny and witty and just funny guys and smart. They've had the brain sucked out of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
They're dopes.
Yeah.
They're the equivalent of dopes. And I'm thinking, wow. Now, they live in different places that have been particularly hit harder with a lot of these governors and things like that. And I'm thinking, what the fuck happened? Like, they got torqued. I've known these people 35 years. They got fucking torqued, man. They're not the same people.
MK Ultra. No, everyone has been brainwashed.